Hello and welcome to another edition of another Manchester City podcast. I'm your host Adam Marrett, and on this episode I'm going to be taking a look at the Manchester City squad and the issues they face and potential solutions as we approach the January transfer window and a busy summer window and a pivotal one for Manchester City. First, looking at the squad, you can just tell on the size of the squad that it's too small for the expanded schedule that Manchester City faced this season and beyond. But that writing was on the wall. You could see with the effect of the European Championships and the Copa America that this season was always going to be a war of attrition for nearly every club in Europe. It's played out that way for Manchester City, and hindsight is always worthless, really, but what City are going through now wasn't a major surprise when you look back at the warning signs. I just posted a piece on esteemedcompany.com saying that the Manchester City hierarchy misread the situation in regards to the size of City's squad for this season. As I said, the busy summer of internationals have played a part, as most of City's players, especially the key players, didn't get a proper pre-season in it, as they needed to rest after playing it. It's deep into the European Championships especially, and the Copa America was another factor. So that was one warning sign there. It was there, and City only made two signings last summer, with Gundogan and Savinho coming in, and Julian Alvarez and Sergio Gomez being the two major absentees. But when you look, factored that in to the expanded Champions League, and of course the FIFA Club World Cup that runs for a month at the end of the season, you did get the sense that City's squad size was way too small. Of course, you couldn't forecast the amount of injuries City have had, but you did get the feeling looking at it that if one major injury occurred, it would have a flow-on effect throughout the City squad, and that's how it's played out. Oscar Bob went down with a fractured leg on the eve of the season after impressing in pre-season, and his losses amplified the reliance on Jeremy Doku, who has his own injury issues, which was well documented when he arrived at City, and Savinho's had to carry a heavy workload, and that's had a flow-on effect with Bernardo playing out on the right wing on occasions. And then Phil Foden's had to step in there as well, and he's had his own form issues from having such a busy summer. He's looked tired all season. But that warning sign was there. That's one. The other one with the squad size and a major injury was when Rodri went down with his ACL injury against Arsenal. Once that happened, that had a massive flow-on effect. It's affected Gundogan, Bernardo, Mateo Kovacic had to step into the role, and he's another player who's always had minor injury issues. He's always going to miss games throughout seasons, just the way it is with Kovacic. So all these signs were there. And then De Bruyne is another one. We saw last season he missed six months with a hamstring injury, so that was always on the cards that he'd miss a period of time this season. Then you add John Stones, Nathan Ake, who were not permanently injured, but they have their own issues, and you could see what could happen this season if one thing went wrong. And then that's, of course, how it's played out. Bob went down, Rodri went down, and the flow-on effect is the fatigue throughout the City squad. And Ake and Stones have been injured off and on. And then Akanji's had suffered because of that and the heavy workload. And then Ruben Dias missed a month. So all these little clues were all there before the season started. So in my opinion, we did misread the situation in regards to squad size. I'm not advocating for a squad the size of Chelsea's, for example, which is mammoth. But one or two, possibly three more players in key areas could have avoided the situation Manchester City find themselves in currently. I will also add that the January window may not be the saviour in that regard. It depends how busy City are, but you're going to be playing catch-up to rectify an issue that was there, and the clues and warning signs were there last summer, but they weren't acted upon, and that leads to where we are now. The first issue, looking forward, I'm going to touch on is the midfield and the lack of an energetic player in there. Rodri's loss obviously amplifies the issue, but we're left with much of the same. Mateo Kovacic, when he's played this season, has been superb and provides energy. But, as I said, he gets injured, and when he's been out, Ilkay Gundogan and Bernardo Silva and Rico Lewis have all been tasked with stepping into the void in midfield. The problem with those three is they're all very similar. They're one-paced. They're technically brilliant, all three. We all know that. But there is a lack of energy and drive and pace and athleticism with those three. And in games against Crystal Palace, Brighton, Bournemouth, Tottenham, it stood out. even the sporting game, you could say, was the same. I think in January, on top of just bringing in a midfielder to step into Rodri's void, we need an energetic one. Edison from Atalanta, as I've touched on in previous podcasts and throughout my writing with esteemedcompany.com, is one I'd be looking at because he's the perfect player for that. You watch him for Atalanta, which I've done on more than, well, multiple occasions this season. That's the type of role he plays for Atalanta, and he's been key in their rise to the top of the of Serie A this season. That type of player would be perfect for us, and he could, whether or not he's attainable in January, but I'd seriously like to see City seriously contemplate a move for him in the summer if they can't get him in January, which appears unlikely. He would if you got him now, he would fill that void. But next summer would be perfect with Rodri back, because I think him next to Rodri would be a really strong midfield base for City to build upon with Pep Guardiola. Looking at the January issue, Martin Zubimendi looms large, especially with the release clause. Maybe you could get him to leave Real Sociedad, you'd be adding the ideal player. He's a no-nonsense player, but a quality player, we all know that. And he could step in now and immediately boost City's midfield. Another player who was linked late last week was Bruno Guimarães from Newcastle. He's another one who would add something different to City's midfield. He could play alongside Rodri in time, but he would solve the issue of a lack of legs in midfield. That's all a flow-on effect from the injuries, but it is stark when you see City play. The amount of times teams just burst through our midfield now, unopposed, and we can't get back defensively. But that is also part of fatigue's playing a factor with players who are just tired. You can see it. So that's a January issue to address, and another one again, I believe, next summer. Another area for City squad needs touching up, in my opinion, is the defence. As I mentioned on my review of the Crystal Palace game earlier today, there's a serious consideration needs to be given to moving Jasko Vardiol to centre-back. I think he's the future of City's defence, whether that's alongside Ruben Dias for a few seasons and then taking charge himself. It's something worth considering. We're going to enter the summer with the same question marks surrounding John Stones and Nathan Ake. There are issues with trying to sell both due to their wages, but I'm not advocating selling both, but I don't think you could enter next season with the same two and no additional centre-back added, because we could find ourselves in the same position this season given their reliability issues and injury concerns that have plagued them, especially the last two seasons at least. As mentioned countless amounts of times, right-back's a must, and that need needs to be addressed. I think it's a January issue, but at the latest it has to be next summer. But for me, it's a January issue. Who that player could be, I don't know. Frimpong from Bayer Leverkusen has been heavily linked, but I think it has to be addressed in January. It can't wait until next summer, as I outlined earlier today. But then there's another possibility, and that's adding a proper left back. It's always been a position we've cobbled together a solution, whether it's Fabian Delph, Zinchenko. Guardiola is a centre back playing on the left, although he's excelled at it, especially going forward. But there is merit to City signing a proper left-back for part of their rebuild, especially in the summer more so than January. I can't see that being a move City would make in January, but it is a move that needs to be considered. So that's the defence. While it sounds like a lot, there's just some subtle tweaks, whether or not you buy a young defender or bring someone in like Callum Doyle for the left-back role or centre-back, because I think he's an outstanding player. It's about time he got a go at City, if that's what the hierarchy deems the next steps for him. He served his apprenticeship in the Championship through several loan spells and won at Sunderland in League One prior to that. And he's proven himself. He's been outstanding for Norwich. I think there is a player there, and I think City would be mad to let him go next summer. I think there's a role there for him. And he'd nearly be the ideal player to step in to City's defence, especially given he's homegrown and he's risen through the ranks of City's academy before his loan spells. Having said all that, I do think City will move for a centre-back next summer on top of Doyle if they bring him in, but who that could be, I don't know at this stage. There's been some tentative links to a few players, but nothing concrete in regards to City moving for a centre-back next summer. That moves to the next area where it's apparent City need another striker to back up Erling Haaland. This has been covered ad nauseum everywhere. I've written about it on esteemedcompany.com several times. And it's just easy. It's obvious to anyone who watches who what Stryker City could target. I don't know. They've been linked heavily linked of late with Victor Gyokeres from Sporting. But that there will be a caveat on that. If he contemplates moving to City, he won't want to play off the bench behind Haaland. Although, with his versatility, Gyokeres could play alongside Haaland or just behind. It's a thought to ponder. But that's the type of player City have been linked with so far. Whether or not he's going to move to City or prefers a move somewhere else is unclear. But from reports are Hugo Viana will be trying to bring him to the Etihad due to his knowledge of him at Sporting. There is an argument and a case to mount to bring another winger in. That's been another area with Oscar Bob's injury that's all had a flow-on effect. And you've added in Doku's injury issues, and Savinho's had flashes of brilliance, and he's going to need more time to adjust given his age. He's only 20. So the positive here, there's been plenty of positives. He's just got to add goal scoring to his game. But the benefit of bringing in another winger, it could, especially based on his performance against Nottingham Forest, it could force Grealish into midfield if he is moved there, where I think that's where his future at City lies. I can't see City selling Grealish next summer. I do believe he's going to move into midfield going forward, and that would be the best position for him based on his strengths and what we need. It would have been handy to see him play there yesterday, but as Guardiola laid out before yesterday's draw with Crystal Palace, Grealish was struggling fitness-wise and not ready for 90 minutes. But adding another winger could facilitate that move and keep City's options, keep them with quality options out wide. A winger with a goal sense would be perfect. Who that would be, I don't know. There's been a couple linked to City here and there. Rodrigo from Real Madrid's been linked, but I can't see that ever happening personally, although he would be the perfect template of a player for Pep Guardiola's squad, and it would stop him scoring against us in the Champions League, which he has a habit of doing at pivotal times. So that's just one to watch for next summer. But there is an arrival in January that I'm excited for, and that's Claudio Echeverri from River Plate. His loan spell is due to be completed and he arrives next month, so that's exciting. Although I will say there's some City fans you see on X expecting him to be the saviour for City this season. I don't think that's fair. He's only an 18-year-old kid who's shown plenty at River Plate, and his quality's apparent. You only have to watch his clips and performances at the Under-17 World Cup to see how prodigious a talent he is. And he needs to be given time to adapt, first of all, when he arrives in January. And there needs to be some patience with him. But as I wrote on esteemedcompany.com earlier today, I do think he could give the City squad a lift given his age and talent, although I'm not expecting him to pull up trees and win City games and tournaments or whatever else people want to throw on him as soon as he arrives. He's a prodigious talent, as I've just mentioned, so his arrival is exciting, and it will be something to watch for when he does arrive, because all indications and reports are he's going to be a part of this Pep Guardiola squad when he arrives, so that's a positive to look out for, and it's exciting as well, especially given how this season's played out to date. So it's an exciting one for a few weeks' time when he does arrive. He may not feature prominently, but there's snippets of quality from him when he does play. That's about all. That will be exciting, and I do think he'll give the squad a lift, not so much with what he brings to the pitch, but just his youthful enthusiasm and his prodigious talent. And the other issue that I'm looking at, I've looked at having a look at City's squad, and it's the age of City's squad. We've seen multiple reports in the last week that the rebuild is coming, and that City may have held off on it for too long. The Athletic, there was a good piece in The Athletic that touched on this. But City can't go into next season by only adding one or two players in the summer or whatever. It needs to be a proper rebuild, and it needs to start next summer. The squad, the age of the squad is too old. You can see it, and it's a fact. You can Google it and look up the age of City's squad, and it stands out how old they've become. It's just facts of football. Teams get old, they age out, and they need to be regenerated. That's where we sit. it's going to be sad to see a host of key players likely depart over the summer, like Kyle Walker, for example, potentially Kevin De Bruyne. I think Edison's situation is one to watch. Even though Pep Guardiola said he's still City's number one keeper, I do think that we're getting to the point where he may leave in next summer. There was talks of him signing a new contract with City, but that's died down of late. So all signs are pointing to the fact that it might be the end of Edison's spell at the club. That's just another example. But the ages, you can see it everywhere. John Stones is north of 30. Gundogan, Bernardo, De Bruyne. Jack Grealish is getting up there. Kyle Walker, as I mentioned. Edison's older, obviously, and Stefan Ortega, but they're goalkeepers. It doesn't apply. But it's everywhere you look. Even Rodri's 28 and he's coming off an ACL injury, so while having him back next season is going to be massive, it's going to take him time to get over an ACL injury. You only have to look at the recovery time in football and any other sport from such a severe knee injury and know that it takes time for players to get their form and their fitness and touch back after such a long layoff. So if City can get younger and get quality young players in next summer, it will benefit them for next season and beyond as the rebuild starts next summer. But I've said all that, and the final point I will say is this season isn't a write-off just yet. Yes, it's been frustrating. The injury crisis has exposed some warts on the City squad with age and the over-reliance on older players. But we're only 15 games into the season. There's still two-thirds of the season or to go, near enough to. And there's still plenty to play for. When everything's still possible, although it will take a lifting of the injury crisis and perhaps some shrewd signings in January to kickstart City's squad. But it's not a complete write-off just yet. Although expectations may change the way City have performed, but as it stands, if you can make the top four and build and the rebuild starts, it won't be the worst thing in the world. We've been on top for a long time, and as it's common in every sport, eras end and empires fall, so to speak. But I'm still hopeful City can have a successful season, depending on what you term as success. So I'm not writing it off completely, although there might be some pain with some results along the way, but I don't feel that this season's written off yet, and I don't think any Manchester City fan should think that just yet, based on what this squad's proven and shown over such an extended period of time. So that's my look on what the City squad looks like, Manchester City squad looks like currently, and some moves I feel they can make starting in January and definitely next summer. It's going to be a sad time to watch key players depart, but the rebuild for me is going to be exciting to watch it develop and play out, especially with the fact that Guardiola's agreed a two-year extension recently and he'll be at the helm for at least the first two seasons of it. I'm excited to see what Hugo Viana can do in the market, as his track record with Sporting Lisbon, or Sporting CP, depending how you want to say it, is absolutely elite. But moving to City gives him a bigger canvas to paint on, so to speak, so he'll have pressure when he arrives, especially following on such a successful era for the club under Shiki Begiristan, under Shiki Ferran Soriano and co. Serrano. It's big shoes to fill for Viana, but indications are he's more than capable of doing so. Anyway, that's it for today, for this episode of another Manchester City podcast. You can follow my writing on esteemedcompany.com and my thoughts on City's form and bits. Everything else is all on Blue Sky as well. Thanks for your time, and I'll be back later this week to preview the Juventus Champions League clash and look at the latest City news as it happens this week. Thanks again for your time, and thanks for listening.